The sermon was preached the first Sunday of Advent, December 2nd, 1945. The sermon text is Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In Jesus' name, to his honor, fellow redeemed. Not always do we know, when a door opens before us, whether we should enter and pass through it with a sure and joyful step, or with dark uncertainty of heart. There is not always a welcome sign hanging outside. We are not always sure of what we shall find. Some doors open to light and warmth and a friendly smile. Then we enter briskly. Other doors reveal a gloomy passageway. And then we go through only if we must, and with unwilling steps. How is it with you today, therefore? A door has opened wide before us, a huge double door, for it opens both into the Advent season and into the new church year. Shall we enter cautiously or confidently? It is not hard to decide about the Advent door, for behind it there is joy and laughter of children, the singing of carols, the chiming of bells, pealing forth the message of a Savior born to the world. Toward that we gladly step today, welcoming the eternal gracious King of Glory. We are also beginning a new church year today, which will take us far beyond the Christmas season, and so we must look farther. An entire 12 months of church life, of living as disciples of Jesus, here in this wicked world, awaits us. How does the view seem to you? Shall we begin with a weight on our hearts, tired and weak? Or shall we enter with happy vigor and eagerness? How do you feel about it? This has nothing to do with whether you are rich or poor, ill or well, young or old. Our spirit will welcome the new church year according to what we see in it. And our God encourages us to see the wonderful things that await us. If we will devoutly meditate upon the words with which the Lord greets us today, you cannot help but say with me that, and our theme in parts, we view the new church year as an inviting, exciting prospect. Part 1, it is inviting because of our great advantages. And part 2, it is exciting because of the blessed use we may make of it. It is always good to take stock of our resources to find out what we have to work with, what kind of capital, before beginning a new venture. If we do this now, before deciding how the new church year looks to us, it will make quite a difference. For we find, to our great joy, that our advantages are so great as to make the church year a real invitation to us. These advantages the Holy Writer checks off for us, twice saying, having boldness, and having. What is it, then, that we have to start with? Boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Because the holy writer of this epistle was addressing chiefly the Hebrew Christians of his day, those of the Jewish nation who had accepted the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, he writes in Old Testament terms and language, which they understood more readily than we. The entrance into the holiest, for instance, was in the Old Testament the most important, the most wonderful, and the most dangerous place in the world. Everybody knew where this entrance was, but nobody used it except for one man, and he dared do so only once a year. Most of you, I am sure, know about it too. It was that place in the tabernacle of God, the Old Testament church, where one stepped into the small back room in which the Ark of the Covenant stood. Where this Ark was, there was God. There he made his home on earth. There his glory was to be seen. To step into the little room which was called the holiest, and to stand before the ark, meant simply to step into the presence of God himself. Those of you who know the stories of the Old Testament will remember what happened to people who even touched the ark with disrespectful hands. They will know that the direct way into the presence of the Lord was forbidden, with the entrance barred by a heavy curtain. Only once a year God allowed the high priest into the holiest room to pray for the forgiveness of the sins of the people, and he could do this only because he carried the blood of a lamb offered up for sin, which God graciously provided. Otherwise, there would have been no possible chance of anyone getting into the direct touch with God. Boldness in itself would not do any good. When Korah and his tribe suggested that they should take the place of High Priest Aaron to enter the holies, the earth opened and swallowed them up. God will not be mocked. In his holiness and before his glory, no sinful human can stand. He lives in a light which none dare approach except by royal invitation. The veil before the holiest was like the barrier of sin itself, the curse which separates man from God. The great message of our text is that this arrangement has been changed. The way to approach God has changed. There is a new and living way to the presence of God, a new road built that does not lead through the old fearful temple curtain, but through a new veil, the flesh and body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Between us and God, there now hangs no curtain, but rather a man on a cross. He came to earth from God, and while he was here, he took into himself and upon himself all the wickedness and the curse of the human race. Before he returned to the glory of heaven, he was struck by the wrath of God because he came laden down with the guilt of all humanity. He died on the cross, but in dying, he paid for sin, taking all the punishment. And when he died, the veil in the temple tore from top to bottom. For thus Jesus opened for us a new way to God that leads through his crucified form. Therefore, brethren, we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. He is the new and living way by which we may step directly into God's presence and before his holy face at any time, by day or night, with boldness. That is, with unreserved free confidence. We may now come as did the high priest of old, carrying the blood of the Lamb of God as our protection. This is the key, the charm that makes us welcome before God always. This is the one thing in the world that we can be entirely unhesitant about, that we have an adequate, a permanently safe entrance to the throne of God. When we enter the holiest, whom do we find? Not the God still full of anger over sin, but a smiling high priest, this same Jesus who went ahead. In every sense, he is our surety that the way to God is open, for he still protects us in the presence of God. We have an understanding, he and we. He knows us. He knows just where we are weak and ugly and unfit to be in the presence of the holy God. So he covers up for us. Yes, truly, our high priest smooths over every blemish of our approach to God, every sin and doubt that hangs on us. He sets us, weak as we are, in a good light, so that God, for his Son's sake, has become pleased with us as we speak to him and listen to him. Now then, dear friends, of this the Apostle puts us in remembrance today. This is our tremendous advantage, our capital gains as we enter the new church year. Certainly it ought to make the year ahead inviting. What else could I or anyone say to people who know that by day or night, in joy or in sorrow, one step will take them immediately and safely into the presence of God? No red tape, no bartering, no scurrying around looking for a priest. When I want God, I just turn to him. And there he is in all his glory and power. I am safe before him, despite all my sins. I enter into his presence over the slain body of my Savior, and I find my living Savior there to speak to the Father with me. A road ahead, a life ahead, with our way to God always clear and safe, must be an inviting way. Dear brethren, the new church year should not only be an inviting venture, but actually an exciting prospect. With our great advantage, just think of the wholesome, blessed things we can do, and the use we can make of our free, bold right to stand in the presence of God. Let us hear how God invites us to adventurous living. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Yes, let us draw near. To make use of the new and living way for ourselves is certainly the first step for us to take in seeking the exciting possibilities of this church year. To draw into closer communion with our God, to enter more deeply into fellowship with Him through His Word and Sacrament, to stand more closely in the light of God. What possibilities do not await us there? Think of what the Lord can do for us. Perhaps in the past we have been very sluggish and not inclined to get very intimate with God. Perhaps we thought other things more interesting and important. Then, of course, we missed the grandest things in life. We have found ourselves growing very small and selfish, and we have not made much of an impression on our fellow men either. Do you know what happened to Moses during the time he spent up on the mount with the Lord God? How his face shone when he returned? Let us draw near with true hearts and grow rich spiritually in the richest company possible to find, the fellowship of the Heavenly Father who lives and speaks with us in his word. The apostle reminds us that we have been marked for such a privilege. For as the priests of old were regarded ready to step into the holiest when their garments had been sprinkled with blood of the sacrifice, so, and indeed much more, are we ready, since both our hearts and our bodies have been sprinkled with the pure water of holy baptism. Free from an evil conscience, with even our bodies born of flesh acceptable to God, we have a divine right to spend our days in the fellowship of God. Could there be a greater adventure on earth than that? And must it not enrich our days? How well prepared we shall be then to meet the test of our Christian faith in the new church year, to serve our Lord with loyalty in serious difficulties here, as we are admonished, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Only those who have walked and talked with God, as did Abraham, Moses, and Elijah, will discover that this church year calls for their highest and most earnest endeavors. The world is constantly offering us glitter in exchange for divine truth, and false shepherds to seek to shame us into leaving the truth. Those who walk the new and living way will find exciting days ahead, days when they can honor their faithful companion by loyalty to the truth. And finally, the church year will be a real adventure in seeking the welfare of our brethren. We are our brother's keepers, especially responsible for those who are walking with us. Therefore, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Truly, a selfish life is a dull life. If you're going to look out only for yourself, there is no spark of joy in you today. But we shall consider one another with heartfelt eagerness to share all spiritual blessings, so that no one come behind in any of God's gifts. Do you know what excitement of soul there is in stirring up love and good works and godly living in our congregation? A very important point is here to be noted. As keepers of our brethren, we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In seeking God's presence, we shall remember our brethren and seek it in their company. We all receive mutual encouragement when we see one another here and share in worship. It shall be an exciting year of keeping near the Lord and our brethren at the same time. We do not know but what this might be our last year together. For one or many of us will this year reach the narrow verge of death and leave this fellowship for one greater. Shall the day of judgment find us unconcerned about our Christian life together as fellow saints in the kingdom of God? Rather, we hold to one another with a more firm grip and more warmth of heart as we strengthen weak knees and flagging spirits. The more so then, should we make the most of our glorious privileges while time remains. God grant that we share our excitement and use the blessings granted us this new church year. For Jesus' sake, amen.